Hello, everyone. This is yours truly, Olga. A friend of mine who lives in the States compiled these words for her own sake, but passed them on to me, and in turn I'm going to pass them on to you. We must remember to help another on life's way, to smile and chase a frown away, to hide a fault, reveal the good, to love my neighbors as I should, to bring good cheer to one who's sad, to make a lonely body glad, to share my joys and blessings too, this will I try each day to do.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days,
and I must go. Weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way.
Life's evening sun is sinking low.
A few more days,
and I must go.
Evelyn Peterson and Alan Peterson collaborated on a very precious book in my possession called For Women Only. But I'm certain that you'll find in the articles I'll be sharing from it that they are not exclusively for women only. This one is on showing courtesy to children. Adults sometimes use a double standard when it comes to courtesy. We feel that adults rate our best manners, but with children, it really doesn't matter. But it does matter. Children are smaller and younger than adults, but they are intelligent and know when they are treated courteously and when they are not. I remember two people who were especially kind and considerate to me when I was a child. There was an aunt who rolled out the red carpet when I came to visit. She treated me like an important individual and called me by name. She was a busy wife and mother, yet she took time to do things that would make the children happy. I still remember how she sliced the potatoes thin and how excited we were to have real potato chips. The other adult I remember was an elderly man who lived in our neighborhood. He never failed to tip his hat as we passed on the sidewalk. He made a 10-year-old young lady feel that at least one person realized she was almost grown up. Perhaps if we were to treat children with more respect and courtesy, they might grow up with the idea that that is the proper way to behave. Now here are 10 easy ways to be discourteous to a child. 1. When you're watching your favorite television program, do not allow the child to make the least noise. But when he is watching his favorite program, laugh and talk and carry on a noisy conversation. When he offers his opinion on a family problem, dismiss his suggestion with an appropriate remark. You don't know anything about it. You're just a child. 3. Should he attempt to discuss his day at school with you, tell him you're tired of always hearing what that teacher is saying. 4. If someone reports that he has been a naughty boy, punish him before you ask him to tell his version of the incident. 5. Do not trust him. Suspect the worst of him. Expect him to get into trouble. 6. Do not bother to compliment him on an achievement. After all, he's only a child. You do not want to spoil him. 7. If he's downhearted, there's no need to encourage him with a kind word, as you would an adult. 8. Do not introduce a child by his name. Just say, "Oh, this is Bill's little boy." 9. When you meet a fat child, say, "You are a chubby one, aren't you?" Or if he is skinny, "My, how thin you are." 10. If a child is playing within listening distance, go ahead and talk about him. No need to wait and discuss him behind his back as you would an adult. You know, we should take time to be more courteous to children. We are no busier than the one who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not."
When mothers of Salem the children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them as they fled, and sweetly smiled and kindly said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." For I will receive them and fold them in my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to those lambs, or drive them not away. For if their hearts to me they give, they shall with me suffer little children to come unto me. How kind was our Savior to bid those children welcome, but there are many thousands who have never heard his name. The Bible they have never read. They know not that the Savior said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." Sure. show thyself a God of love. Teach the little children to come unto thee.
A child's most basic security is in knowing that his parents love each other. It's even more important than their love for him. He feels assured of being part of a strong, satisfying relationship and is certain he'll never be abandoned. Obviously, there are many ways in which marriage partners can show their love. Their mutual respect for each other, seeking the other's advice, fulfilling each other's unspoken desires, protecting each other from criticism and misunderstanding. All these demonstrate love. But along with these should go the happy exchange of the physical expressions of love, the pat, the squeeze, the hug, and the kiss. The only people who really know how to express love are those who have seen love expressed. A child knows his parents more intimately, more honestly than anyone else in his life. Therefore, what he's going to learn about love will come from watching them day after day. Before he enters kindergarten, he's acquired more than 50% of his intelligence and personality development right there at home.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds and pearls, champagne, sables, or so. I never cared much for diamonds and pearls, for honestly, honey, they just cost money. Give me your hand when I've lost the way. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot that always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot. Give me your hand when I'm lost away. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot that always and ever, now and forever, little things mean.
To forgive or not to forgive, that is the question. And when you think of it, why should anyone forgive? Why shouldn't the person who has wronged you be made to make things right, to pay for his sins? Why shouldn't he be punished? If any conviction about such things comes naturally to all men, it's the deep-seated universal belief that somebody's got to pay. Forgiveness seems too easy. There should be blood for blood, eye for eye. Yes, you can knock out a tooth for a tooth in retaliation. But what repayment can you demand from the one who has broken your home or betrayed your daughter or ruined your reputation? So few sins can be paid for, and so very seldom does the victim possess the power or the advantage to demand payment. In most cases, making things right is beyond possibility. Repayment is impossible. So here's where revenge comes in. If you can't get equal payment or restitution out of the one who's wronged you, at least you can get revenge. Pay him back in kind, tit for tat. Serve him the same sauce. Get even with him if you insist. But remember, to get even, you make yourself even with your enemy. You bring yourself down to his level and below. There's a saying that goes, doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging an injury makes you but even with him. Forgiving it sets you above him. Revenge not only lowers you to your enemy's level, what's worse, it boomerangs. The man who seeks revenge is like the man who shoots himself in order to hit his enemy with the kick of the gun's recoil. Revenge is the most worthless weapon in the world. It ruins the avenger while more firmly confirming the enemy in his wrong. It initiates an endless flight down the bottomless stairway of rancor, reprisals, and ruthless retaliation. Just as repayment is impossible, revenge is impotent. What you say? No payment, no repayment, no revenge? But I can have the sole satisfaction of hating the wretch. Well, yes, you can hate him. You can nurse a grudge until it grows into a full-blown hate, hooves, horns, tail and all. But what do you gain? In hatred, everybody loses. Hidden hatred can sour a likable lady into a suspicious carper, a warm, understanding man into a caustic cynic. What does it cost to incubate hatred? In addition to corroding a disposition, harbored hatred can elevate blood pressure, upset digestive works, ulcerate a stomach, or bring on a nervous breakdown. And ever hear of a coronary? So why boil inside? It's a form of slow suicide. Get all steamed up with resentment, and an explosion is inevitable. And just simmering a grudge or a grievance can have the same results. Do a long, slow burn and you hurt no one but yourself, because the person who broods over a wrong poisons her soul. By the way, if you've made a mess of things, much that you regret, if your heart is grieved because you just can't forget, don't forever, looking back, yesterday deplore. With a bit of faith and pluck, you can start once more. Thank you.